Once again, I feel as though I have a few opening remarks. It has been told us over and over and over again here at the Prayer Center that you never take a verse out of context. And so as we go through today and as we went through last week, it would seem like we could have taken a verse out of context. And so I encourage you that even though I may read one verse, that you keep that one verse and make it a center point and probably read three chapters before and three chapters after so that you get the full picture, because there is so much, it is so rich, it is all alive, but there's just not enough time to put it within the time allotted for us to share what the Lord wants to share. If you would turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, and if you have your handout that we gave out last week, I would highly recommend that you keep continually keeping notes. This series or this time of fellowship with you is a time of doing. It's not a time of just listening. Philippians 3:13. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. No, I'll read it out of the King James and then you can look it up in the Amplified. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. I only do one thing when it comes to this matter. Those things which are behind, I forget, and reaching forth unto the things which are before. After last week, the majority of the conversations that have come my direction is the concern that we're all late and that we've all missed it. And our lives are much older. And to understand that that is the enemy that is doing all that speaking. God is a God. No, better yet, your father is a father of the present, and he is the father of your future. The past has all been placed under the blood. He's the only father that can take all of your failings, all of your iniquities, and throw them as far as the east is from the west. You ever think about that? They're still discovering galaxies after galaxies after galaxies, and just not in the west. They're discovering them in the east also. So you're not late. You're right on time. Right on time. The next series of verses is in, I'll give you three references. Matthew chapter 13. Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter 8. In those three chapters is the parable of the sower sows the word. I'm only going to speak briefly about the good ground, because everyone in the sound of my voice everyone in the sound of my voice is good ground. Period. If you say that in your heart right now, if you say that just, I am good ground, I am good ground. You could be nothing else but good ground if the Father took you and placed you inside of Jesus. That's where you are. You are in Him. He has no bad ground, so there's no way for you to be bad ground. You can only be good ground. Period. What we're striving for is that some bring forth 30, some bring forth 60, some bring forth 100. So you're striving. No. Yes, you're striving, you're wanting, you're desiring, you're hoping that you're good ground to 100-fold. But you are good ground. I'll read the 3 verses that I want to address, and you can read the chapters once again afterwards. Matthew 13:23. But he that receiveth the seed in the good ground is he that beareth, heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also bear fruit and bringeth forth, some 100, some 60, some 30. Mark 4:20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Luke 8:15. So that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. The 3 words that you would like to circle is you understand it, you receive it, and you keep it. Not understanding the spoken word and not believing the words that have been spoken bears the same fruit. The message of last week and using Gary's The God of Hope came forth in 98. The concerns that I've heard was, why didn't I know this in 98? Once again, you're considering the past, but you're starting anew, and if you understand it and you receive it, and you keep it, you will fulfill everything that the Lord's called you to do, without exception. It's the understanding of it. Now, I'm primarily thinking about your personal words. I'm primarily thinking about the God of Hope, the Rhema words that He's given you. How many of you feel as though, without showing hands, how many feel as though that you understand every word that you have received? And how many of you have received it? And how many of you have kept it? To understand it, receive it, and keep it is found within the definition of grace that we reviewed last week. The lack of waiting on God. The lack of waiting on the Holy Spirit. The lack of meditation. All contributes to the lack of the understanding. So I encourage you, for us all, incidentally, I'm a learner. I am not a teacher. You understand that? If I got on my knees and then could get back up, I'd get on my knees. You need to know I'm no different than you. I'm not speaking from authority. He's the authority. He's the wisdom. But I'm learning right along with you. And I'm not a foot ahead. I'm not a step ahead. We're holding hands. We're more than a family. We're so much more than a family. And we're going to win together. Every single person has their part. Last week, Promised Land. But learning to wait. Think of the number of messages you hear in 1 year. If you only come Sunday, you at least hear 52 Sunday morning. If you come twice, you hear 104. Then you come to Calling in the Lost, and you get another 52. Then you come Wednesday night. How many of them did you take time to understand? How many of you took time to receive them and then keep them? I should be talking to a mirror, and the only person I see is me. We need to learn to wait, especially those things that he has spoken to you one-on-one. The enemy takes great advantage of our lack of understanding because he loves to tell us that we don't have any faith and that we're failed, etc. He actually lives there. If you tell him to leave, he will leave. Now I would like you to take 5 minutes of stillness. You have a pencil? I would like you to take 5 minutes, and I will try to slow down for 5 minutes. And I would like you to write down on a sheet of paper, what is your hope right now? What hope do you have that comes forth right now? Out of your heart, out of your mind. Incidentally, no one's going to see this but you and him. He already knows it. But write down your hope. That you wrote, or that you're still writing, is most likely the fruit that the Lord wants to bring forth in your life. Some 100, some 60, some 30. It's the desires that he's placed within you. There might be a little bit of 1 degree off or so. But I highly doubt it. That your heart is full of him, and what he's given you is there. And as we go through this week and possibly next, or however long it takes, you will have the opportunity to see every bit of that hope come to pass. You will, individually. It's once again your own promised land. If we go to the handout, I did cover a couple things, but I'm going to start again at the top. For those of you that took it home and read it and sort of did homework over it or meditated over it, I'm sure you had a better week, absolutely, than you did the previous week. Somebody need one that doesn't have one? I'll read the first sentence. Concerning ministry, son, the first lifeline you are to throw to the people is the lifeline of hope. You will see that the Father told his Son, first lifeline that I want you to throw to the people is I want you to throw to them hope. The Father turned to the Holy Spirit and he said, every time they allow you to pray through them in our language, the first thing you need to pray for them is hope. Even though they don't understand it. So when you begin to pray in tongues, the very first thing that the mind of Christ brings to you, which is the will of the Father, is hope. How many of you have experienced going through whatever, 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 and all of it a sudden you decide to begin to pray in tongues? And soon after, some of the pressure or some of the trouble has left and there's more freedom. What do we think that is? Other than the Holy Spirit bringing the hope that's within God and bringing it into your spirit, and your spirit becoming more and more alive than your soul, and he's brought you hope. It's wonderful. For the enemy rages against all mankind to destroy all hope that there is help for them from their God. You are never wrong to give the people hope. Without hope, there is nothing for faith to give substance to. That's Hebrews 11:1. The first order of ministry is to allow hope to be painted on the canvas of their heart. For without a vision, the people perish. That's Proverbs 29:18. Tell them that all hope is in Christ Jesus the Lord. He has provided access for them into the bounty of their Father. Tell them it is all free by grace based on his finished work. The hopes that you wrote down on a sheet of paper, look at them. Is every part of the hope that you wrote down when you took the 5 minutes, is it in the finished work of the Lord Jesus? Do you see that it's free by grace? Do you see that he paid that price for that desire, that wish, that hope to be fulfilled? Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23 is one of the prayers within the Ephesians. And this is where I almost feel like we're taking the word out of context, because you need to read the whole book of Ephesians over and over and over again. And we went through a little bit of that last week. But there's two verses within, well, there's really one verse. And let's go to Ephesians 1:18. No, I'm going to read it all. Thank you. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. For the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding, good ground, being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. In the Amplified, it says, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope in which He has called you, and how rich is His glorious inheritance in the saints, His set apart ones. Back to the lesson. No, let me go farther. Well, I'm just going to have to read more. I'm going to begin in verse. I'm just going to read. But having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which He has called you, and how rich is His glorious inheritance to the saints. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of His power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, above every title that can be confirmed, not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and the world which is to come. And He has put all things under His feet and has appointed Him the universal and supreme head of the church, a headship that is exercised throughout the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. For in the body lives the full measure of Him who makes everything complete and who fills everything everywhere with Himself. That's who you are. That's the joy. That's the hope. That's who you are. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. In the Amplified, may the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound and be overflowing, bubbling over with hope. That's where we're headed. That's where we want to walk into. Okay. Back to the handout. You must impart hope to their spirit before faith can ever be produced, says the Lord. You must impart to yourself hope before the faith that you have for everything to come to pass, to come to pass. This hope must come in such a measure that you can literally taste it and see it. It must be hope of a living kind and not a vague dream. I will teach you and I will instruct you how to help the people repaint hope on the canvas of their heart in such a manner that they will have a strong vision and a strong image that faith can give substance to. I'm going to give you four exercises, maybe, or four, let's call them instructions. If you may have more than I have, but four will help you to begin down the trail. The first thing with your hope that you've written on a sheet of paper, I'm believing that the majority of them are personal words that the Lord's given you in your fellowship time. You already have them. You already have received them. I don't know if you've ever personalized them in your reading. But if we take the last sentence that I just read, I would read it this way. Tim, I want to instruct you on how you can repaint hope on the canvas of your heart in such a manner that you will have a strong vision and a strong image that faith can give substance to. For those of you that know me pretty well, you really don't want to spend a lot of time around me because I have only one thing to talk about, and that's the vision. Second thing I would recommend, that you read your hopes back to the Lord. You have fellowship around the personal words that He's given you. Now we know that He already knows what you're going to say because He told you and He gave it to you. But it's fun. It's really fun. When I tell Leah I love her, she already knows what I'm going to say, but she still loves to hear it, and vice versa. You meditate on what the Lord's given you, and you talk to Him about it. Incidentally, He's always there anyway, right? I mean, He's come to dwell with us. We don't have to go dwell with Him. Holy Spirit's been sent to dwell with us. Never leaves us. Closer than your next breath. Enjoys listening. You may sound like a little child, but which one of you do not like to hold a little child and hug him and hold him up and, you know, love him? That's who you are to Him. You may not think that, or you may not know that, but that's who you are. The third thing is I would turn your meditation and your confessions and your personal words from the Lord. I would take all of those as you have fellowship with Him, and I would turn them in to praise and worship. We know that praying in tongues cannot do what praise and worship can do, and that praise and worship cannot do what tongues can do. But if you begin to praise Him over those hopes that you have, it builds up your soul to come into agreement with your born-again spirit. Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. There's not a calling in the lost service that Gary does not end the calling in the lost service to say, now let's praise him. Tulsa is in revival. Just turn that in to a meditation and take it from a confession into a meditation into a time of praising the Lord that Tulsa is in revival. Where does your mind stop? Your hope. Your mind will almost not stop the more you do it. And that is building your hope. Romans 12, 1 and 2, you know it by heart. Present your body. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Bringing the mind of Christ into you, into your mind, into your soul, into your heart. I don't know where the one starts and the one stops and how they overlay, but Jesus occupies all of it. All of it. Again, I say unto you, the first line for those who are drowning in the sea of afflictions is to cast the line of hope. Without hope, they will not move towards their God. Without hope, they have nothing to hang on to. Hopelessness is the goal of your enemy who would destroy you, spirit, soul, and body. You are never, ever, ever, never, ever, ever wrong to give yourself hope, says the Spirit of grace. Does not the Word say that God is the God of hope? Romans 15, 13. Now the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we already mentioned praying in tongues. That you will abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Truly, He is. Introduce the people to the God of hope, and they despair not nor languish in hopelessness. The first message that Jesus taught. Only one example do we have, and that's Him. The first message that Jesus taught after overcoming the enemy in the wilderness was to announce that He had been anointed to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. With those words, hope was immediately imparted to the spirit of every person in the sound of His voice. For they all knew that those words meant He was announcing and proclaiming the year of Jubilee. Instantly, within them, hope was painted on the canvas of their heart. For they knew that the year of Jubilee meant all debts are canceled and every man is restored to his original inheritance. Let's go to Luke 4. I'm going to start in verse 17 through 22. Luke 4, 17 through 22. This was after He defeated the enemy in the wilderness. First message. And there was delivered unto him the book of Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Stop. You do not go into the temple. You, Jesus, you do not go into the temple and be asked to have a service and be handed the book and you go find where you want to read out of. You don't have the right as a Jewish scholar to talk about what you want to talk about. It's against the law. It was not the Sunday or the Saturday to read what he was about to read. He had to go find it. He went against religion, traditions, everything. And he was listening to his father. His father says, I want you to go to Isaiah. And I want you to bring hope to everybody. Because that's the first thing I want to bring. And there was delivered unto him the book of Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. There are five groups of people, and each one of us is one of those five, and some of us are all five. So he has the ability to bring hope if you're all five of them or one of the five. But he covers all the bases. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Poor in spirit. Poor in soul. Poor in goods. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovery of the sight to the blind, and to set in liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down. The eyes of all them that were in the synagogue was fastened on him. And he began to say to them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? The anointing, when he brought forth gracious words. I'd like to go to Isaiah 61, where the Lord read the first part of Isaiah 61. And I'm going to start in verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. You are a tree of righteousness for his glory. That's all the farther he read. When Isaiah spoke this, and it was written, it was a prophecy. Who gave him the prophecy to speak if it was not the Word, which was the Lord Jesus? Verses 4 through 11 is for you. I'll read it, and with this we'll close. Jesus only was able to read, or chose to read, because his Father said, this is what I want you to tell them in this dispensation. This is what I want them to know, that I'm here to bind them up. I'm here to remove them from prison. I'm here to set them totally free. I'm here to bring vengeance on the enemy, etc. But now let's go to verse 4. Do you remember last week the introduction or the statements in regards to we are on and in a season of offensive warfare? Offensive warfare. As I read this, think about the season that we've now entered into and the hope or the victory or the success or the fulfillment of all of your desires will take place in this season. And that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Verse 4, and they shall build the old wastes. They shall rise up the former desolation, and they shall repair the wasted cities, the desolation of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flock, and the sons of aliens shall be your plowmen and your wine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of your God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory ye shall boast yourself. For your shame ye shall have double, and for your confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land, they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offerings, and I will direct their work in truth. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garment of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Welcome to the war. Welcome. Welcome to the war. See you in 30 minutes.